Blog Talk Radio.
Success is in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you for this hour and placed in you my power. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I will do exceedingly above all you ask of me. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. Don't wait until the last. Don't wait until the right. It's in your hand.
Shabbat Shalom, Mishpachah. Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to another edition.
Shabbat Shalom, Mishpachah. Shabbat Shalom. Welcome.
I'm sorry, it seems like we were having some technical difficulties earlier where we had the show coming in a couple of different areas and levels. But nonetheless, welcome to Kavod Mountain Yasharel, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio here on the seventh day. I pray that you are increased and blessed, and it truly is an honor to sanctify Kodesh a day for the Most High, Ahaya Bahashim Yeshaya, Hero Israel, the Lord our God is one. And it is our prayer that we would become one, that we would come back to the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. For truly the Father said, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. All the commandments shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. Truly that is our endeavor, and that is why we gather together here through the internet, the airwaves, some in the synagogue, some in your homes, some meet in basements, wherever you're meeting. We are one, and we know that this is the day of the Most High, Ahaya, and we recognize it, and we solidify ourselves by committing ourselves to the same practice, the Torah, the Tanakh, and that's what we strive to do here. I am Elder V. Shabbat Shalom, Mishpachah. Let's welcome Elder Andre. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Shabbat Shalom. Beta Yisrael. And those of you around the world, those of you, as is custom, at least on my radio, I like to greet those who are in this neck of the woods or part of the country in the AM time. And I'd like to greet you and to our brothers and sisters who are in the PM time of the world. I'd like to greet you and to those of you who are in the afternoon time, as I call the heat of the day. Good afternoon to you all. Welcome to another broadcast. And on behalf of myself and on behalf of Elder here, my brother, we don't take for granted you checking in and your weekly checking in with us and joining us in this study. We highly appreciate it. And I just would like to say that again, Toda, thanks to you all for your support, not financial support, but your support, just supporting us and joining us weekly. We thank you, and we appreciate it.
Every week, we tend to give a whole dissertation, a summation as to why we're going back into the laws, and you'd have to catch some of our shows in the archives and check it out. If you really want to have an understanding of this Israelite, Hebrew Israelite way of life, this culture that we're coming back to, this is our culture. We are redefining it, of course, and we're trying to understand it, and we're trying to make it relevant as it pertains to our society today, and understand why he gave us those things and why he did not abolish the statutes, laws, and commandments. It is foolish to think that we serve an unstable God that changes his mind every century, decade, 100 years, every millennia. No, it's set forth in stone. The high is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The only thing that changes is the fact that you come into knowledge and you think he changed. No, he didn't change. It was there all the time, but you didn't glean it. You didn't properly exegete, and you began to eisegete the text and massage the text as you folks do in churches. But in all actuality, in order for us to be Kodesh, he gave us a construct in how to live our lives. And we do sum it up with the 10, and we recognize the fourth on today, which is to remember the Shabbat, the Sabbath, and to keep it holy. And most people don't want to hear it, but this is how he separated a people. If that makes us racist, then so be it. There are different races, different nations. Think that it's nailed to the cross, and you want to eat pork, which causes every sickness, illness, and pestilence and disease in your body known to man, not to mention parasites, which are nothing but demonic spirits. If you want to continue to do that and try to say that he blessed and sanctified that, and all you got to do is pray over it, that's ignorant. And you are ignorant. He gave us health laws, dietary laws, and communal laws, family laws, wherewith we must live by. And these must trump even the laws in this society, because we don't agree with policies that are destroying families, or that try and separate us from the Most High, or that push us into worshiping false gods, fallen angels, and other deities that they worship. There's only one God, and hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Ahaya is his name, and he has a name. For he says that if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, their wicked ways, seek my face. We want to hear from him, and that's how we hear from him. So today we prepare ourselves to go into the Torah and listen to the laws as they did when they entered into the synagogue. And without further ado, I guess Elder Ardre, we both talked about prior commitments, but this is our most important commitment of the day, which is to fellowship and share this word.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're ready to do it, let's get it.
Oh yeah, I'm ready. The first one today is taken out of Deuteronomy, which is the Hebrew word devarim, meaning the words. The first one is not to listen to a false prophet. Once again, it's taken out of Deuteronomy, devarim 13. Let's go 1 through 4 to get a better understanding. So Deuteronomy 13. 1 through 4.
Deuteronomy 13:1. If there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Ahaya, your God, proveth you to know whether ye love Ahaya, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after Ahaya and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from Ahaya, your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which Ahaya commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil way from the midst of thee.
Man, amen for that.
I wanted to read that extra verse. I know we talked about it, but I wanted to bring the fifth verse out as well.
No, I'm glad you did. Well, I mean, I really want to, this is to everybody, but I really hope that those of you who are in the church would really, you know, press your ear against this phone because I really want to talk to you. I'm talking to everybody, but I want you to really hear. Beginning with verse 1, where it says, then there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. Now, if you read that in the Hebrew, that word would say, the word sign, it would say, give you an oath. Now, those of you who are Hebrew students or know the Hebrew know that the word oath is the sign of the Messiah. Like, say, for example, when you, and it's all over the Bible, you can be reading, it starts off in Genesis where, you know, creation, right in the middle of nowhere, it has oath. And for many years, those writers of the Bible, and I'm not talking about Moses, so Moses probably knew, but many others, I shouldn't say the prophets, but the Pharisees or whatever, they didn't know exactly what oath means until the Messiah comes along in Revelations and says that he's the first, he's the last, he's the Alpha and he's the Tav. That is the word Alpha. And Tav is the oath, meaning that he is the beginning, he is the end. And so when a person comes, and also, the word oath also means flag or beacon, monument, omen, miracle or wonder. And so if a prophet comes and gives you these, as it mentions, as we read alone, it says, and the sign, that oath, and wonder, remember I just said, well, that's what it means as well, come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Two main things that a false prophet is looking for or desires. The first I would say is to lead the people astray and lead them into idolatry. And the second is he wants some money. You just look at, for example, look at the prophet Balaam or Balaam. His desire was money. And so, you know, and also to speak curses on the people as well. And so when you have false prophets among your men, among you, and they doing all these miracles, see, that's letting you know that just because a person do miracles, that don't really mean anything. I mean, so if you're in church and a person is healing the sick, and I don't care if he raised the dead, because it says in scriptures that didn't we heal the sick, didn't we raise the dead, and so on, and the Messiah said, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. And so just because a person is doing these signs and these wonders and these miracles doesn't mean that the person is super holy. Doesn't mean that he came from the Messiah. And it says in verse 3 that thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of the dreams, for I'm reading the King James, but I'm going to say the name. For Ahiah, your God proveth you. He tests you to know whether you love him. Oh, wait, excuse me, I'm sorry. Whether you love Ahiah your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, one thing to know if this person is real is that you got to know the word yourself. So if this person, this false prophet, comes among you and he's doing all these things, one thing to prove because remember he's going to be speaking lies, and so you compare him to the Torah. You compare him to the Torah, and so that's why if we turn to well, first of all, Elder, do you have anything to say before I turn to another scripture?
You go ahead. I'll let you finish.
If we turn to Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2, you want me to read it or you want to read it?
No, I can read it. Hold on. Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep commandments.
Let's go to 5 and 6, same chapter.
Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Last same chapter 9 and 10.
Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Most High in Horeb, when the Most High said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children.
So we are to learn his statutes, his judgments, and we are to teach them to our children and our children's children. And also that if we learn the word, the other nations will say, man, these people are all wise. How come they know we're wise? Because we've been proven to be wise by living by the word. And also, you know, quoting from 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved. You know, so you, in order to be approved, you have to be tested. And so when these prophets come along, these false prophets and these evangelists and preachers, teachers and whatever they may be, comes along and teaches you, prove them by the word. So even if they do these signs and these miracles, and even doing the signs of the Messiah, which the Antichrist will do, so really prepare yourself for that, because he's going to do the same miracles that the Messiah did. So he fits under this as a false prophet, that you prove this person by the Torah, you prove this person by the word, and that's how you will know that that this person is a false prophet, because one of the things he's going to do, which the word just the elder just read here, is that he's going to add or take away from the word. That's a given. That's a guarantee. He's going to add. He's going to take away. He's going to put his own little spin on it. And so you have to guard yourself against such things. And remember this: that his other aim is to lead you astray. Whether it's into demonic worship or to put curses on you. And the other is to make money. So don't give that person a dime. Don't give him nothing. I don't care if he says, you know, the Lord says, you know, to give me an offering of $20.12 that represents 2012. Don't, no, you're proven by the word. And basically all I have to say about that. You have anything to add, Elder?
Okay, so we can move on. I'm just going to give a precept. I'm just going to read a particular precept. I think that this kind of also puts some light on the things that you just talked about and this particular topic of the false prophets. And Jeremiah 23. I'll read Jeremiah 23 and 23. And then after that, we can move to the next point. And Jeremiah 23 in the 23rd verse says, I am Ahiah at hand, saith the Most High, and not a God afar off. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Most High. Do not I feel heaven and earth? Saith the Most High. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed. I had a vision. You know what I mean? Let me say what that means. It says, I have dreamed. And it's emphasizing when people are trying to impress people that I saw something. But verse 26, Jeremiah 23 and 26 goes on like this. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, which we also know means Lord. And all everyone in the Christian church is saying, praise the Lord, thank the Lord. Oh, the Lord is good, because these false prophets from the Torah to Tanakh up until now have caused the Most High's people to forget his name. Verse 27 says, I'm going to read 27 again, Jeremiah 23, 27, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, said the Most High? Is not my word like as a fire, said the Most High, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, said the Most High, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Most High, that use their tongues and say, he saith, or better, in today's word, the Lord told me to tell you, or God. Verse 32, and I'm going to close out, Jeremiah 23 and 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, said the Most High. I'm done. Okay? We can move on to the next.
Oh, man.
Let's let that be a Selah and let it speak. I don't even want to add to that.
Oh, man. Whew. Okay, let's go to, Okay, let's go to the second one. Boy, how can you just leave me hanging like that, man? It's just, man, it's not hanging, but it's, man, you, okay. Next one is, do not perform a medium. And that's taken out of Leviticus 19:31, Hebrew word, Vayikra, Leviticus 19:31.
So while I'm pulling up this scripture, you want to give a definition of medium for the people out there?
Yes. Medium, Hebrew word, ob, A-O or A-U. It can be oob or ob, A-U-B, is one who calls on a spirit or divination, a sorcerer, one who foretells the future. And really, well, let's just go and read it first, and then we'll just...
Okay, was that the Leviticus?
There's more to it, but for the sake of time, I mean, because it's a long definition to this, but I just gave a short one.
Leviticus 19 and 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. For I am the Lord your God, Ahaya.
Okay. Let's turn to, since we're in this neighborhood, let's go to also Leviticus 20 and 6.
Leviticus 20 and 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards do go a-whoring after them. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people.
So those of you who turn to these mediums, once again, those who call up spirits, divinations, sorcerers, foretell the future. Let me throw this in here also. Those of you who are fooling with drugs, messing with drugs, because that's a medium as well. The drug dealer is considered to be a sorcerer because he gives you mediums. They work with drugs and they work with other herbs to conjure up demons and to conjure up spirits. So when you buy drugs or when you go into a bar, because after all, the bar is called spirits. It used to be back in the day, and I don't know if it's still like this because I haven't really noticed, that when you go into a bar, the sign outside would say spirits or house of spirits or whatever. And so that's letting you know that even in that bar, when you go to get, when you drink these various alcohols, that too is a form of a medium. So the bartender can even be a medium. And let me go back to this. Well, what we just read, a false prophet can be a medium. So all this is to lead you into, so when they do their little miracle thing, because mediums, they do miracles too. You know, you go in there and they, you know, get these stuff going, and next thing you know, you got a spirit in the room or a demon in the room, or they mess with these Ouija boards, or you even got tranquilicus, whatever you call them. Those two, all that is in the same family. That's meant, once again, to lead you astray, to lead you into demonic worship. And the scripture says, once again in verse 6, that whoever turns to these familiar spirits. Now remember, he's talking to Israel. He's talking to his people. And anyone else who's wished to be engrafted in Israel, any other, in any Gentile. So not only is he talking to us, but those who were joined to him, who weren't Israelites, but they joined the nation of Israelites and wanted to obey the government of the Most High and his statutes and his rules. He's talking to you also. So to my Gentile brothers who are engrafted in, he's talking to you as well, that anyone who turns to these familiar spirits and wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people, which means that you no longer in the house of Israel. You've been kicked out. And so that's one of the problems that we have today, elders, that we desire these things so much that he gave us the desire of our heart. It's like, okay, you want to do that? You know, you want to be like these other nations? You want to disobey my Torah? Okay, so I'm going to carry you amongst the nations. And so here we are today, you know, amongst the nations doing these things. And it's become so familiar, elder, that it's not even strange to us no more to see a medium or to see even a medium business. I mean, a place, you know, where you can go and have divination done, palm reading, and all that. That's just like part of our community. And let me throw this in here, too, while I'm at it. Yoga, that's another one. You know, we just got yoga carpets, yoga rugs all over, you know, just yoga stuff all in our house, not knowing that all this stuff comes from medium, and also, once again, false prophets play this role as well. So these preachers, they play this role as well. They can be a medium as well. Do you want to add anything, Elder?
I just wanted to talk about the getting back to the definition that you gave, the Hebrew out of the Torah and the Tanakh for familiar spirits was Ob, and you mentioned that Ob also pertained to necromancers, those that frequent intimacy with the dead, and ventriloquists. And when we begin to talk about a familiar spirit, it's a spirit that's been here throughout time. If there's a spirit that possesses a person that's been around, it has a degree of knowledge which can cause deception to anyone that's around it and give them. This actually ties into our first point of false prophets, because a lot of your false prophets have familiar spirits in them, and they cause you to think that they have knowledge from the Most High when it's a spirit that's been around, that's possessed someone before. And a familiar spirit, when you talk about ventriloquism, we know exactly what it is. One is the dummy sitting on the lap being controlled and being spoke through. We don't realize that we're entertaining people on a daily basis that are actually the ventriloquist dummy that are being controlled by other spirits, which is why it's important for us to make it relevant today, not to react to things that people do to us, because spirits go about compelling people to instigate us into sin, loathsomeness, lackadaisicalness, lasciviousness, and it's until that spirit can get you on its level and open up your heart and break you down and get you to remove your armor. So this is why we have to go about discerning with our full armor on and watching and praying, because we are entertaining not only angels unaware, but people that are possessed by spirits that come to rob, kill, and destroy you. We don't have fear. I don't preach fear, because no weapon formed against us can prosper. But when I look at the Ob today in society, say that almost close to 80 to 90% of the population is possessed by a spirit, which is why the sorcerers that you talked about, the dope dealers, the natural dope dealers with the white jackets on and the little notepad and the prescription pad, you know, they get drugs to keep you medicated, keep you sedated, to keep these spirits in check. Spirits are coming through television, radio, music, and seeking a vessel, a willing vessel that they can possess and control for their own personal satisfaction. Spirits stay hungry. Spirits desire sex. Spirits desire to thrive in this world, which is why when our brother Messiah, HaMashiach, the Christ, came upon that island and the man was tearing himself and filled with legions of demons, immediately fell at his feet and said, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" They recognized his presence and they desired to be cast into the swine, which is another reason why I don't eat that pig. But they desire to be cast into the swine because they do not like to be without a host. They want a host. So I just wanted to like elaborate on this familiar spirit thing, because there are people in these false, pagan, idolatrous Christian churches that are filled with familiar spirits and trying to get people to think that they are holy, prophetic, anointed, and they're actually carrying a demonic spirit. If they're not keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments and following the Torah and Tanakh, then it's definitely questionable. So we're not to consult a medium. I'll give a key point, and I don't have to do the precept. We're not to consult a medium as King Saul. It was Saul, the king before David. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, who knew that his time was about up, and and wasn't hearing from the Most High, and decided to go seek a medium, and that's what got him in trouble with the Most High. Stay away from tarot cards. Stay away from false prophets that tell you to call them up, give them some money, and they'll give you a word. Stop seeking a word. Stop saying, I need a word. Stop saying, I just need to see what such and such has got to say. But we're supposed to watch the counsel that we consult. Walk not after the counsel of the ungodly. And godly is anyone who's not keeping Torah. Anyone who's not keeping Torah, the commandments, the Tanakh, and does not understand it. So we're not to seek a medium to every degree. This is so far reaching. We are not to be dialing 900 numbers. We're not to seek therapists or psychiatrists or psychologists that have been trained in these demonic schools that teach them how to open your mind and fragment and compartmentalize your brain to open you up to demonic possession. We're not to seek mediums. And that is what that is saying, even for us right now today. We are to seek the Most High in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So all we have to do is seek first the kingdom. And seeking the kingdom is when we come together on Shabbat and try to learn more about him from these statutes, these laws that made us Kodesh, and find out how he thinks, how he gave the writings to Musa, so we can understand his attributes, his character. Because, you know, if we were made in his image and we have various emotions and different things like that, that means our Father does too, because we're made in his image. So we want to learn that and be like him.
If you don't mind, I would like to read, if you don't mind, Elder, because I know we're heavily on time right here. I mean, as far as got to keep our time. But I would like to read Isaiah 8, 19, and 20 regarding this subject. That's Isaiah, Hebrew, Yesayahu, 8, 19, and 20. And it says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek their own God for the living to the dead? Verse 20 says, and to the law, that's the Torah, and to the Torah and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, like we just mentioned previously, it is because they have no light in them. So once again, even with this medium, and I'm going to quickly say this, even with this medium, you got to prove this person. You got to prove everything by the word. You got to prove everything by the Torah. Don't just sit and allow these mediums, these preachers, these pastors, these bishops, these elders, these evangelists, and missionaries. Don't just allow them just to have you turn to a scripture, one scripture, and then they do the rest. No, you prove them by the Torah. You study to show yourself approved. That's the other thing. And once again, lastly, preachers fit also. I'm not saying all preachers, but just like the elder said, they're false prophets, but they also are mediums as well. And once again, if that doesn't fit, if that's not you, then we're not talking about you. But that's a lot of you.
Okay. That's well said. Well said. Ready for, we're going to move on to the next one.
The next and the last one is, do not make a covenant with idolaters. And that's taken out of Deuteronomy 7 and 2. Man, this is one of these. This is one of these subjects here, man. I mean, all of them. That man, we can have one and just spend a whole hour on it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I know we're covering for the people out there, Mishpachah. We're covering a lot, but you see how there's a uniformity to the things that we talk about, and we're able to connect them and tie them in to where it can edify us as a people, as Israel. So that we can, when we walk out these doors to enjoy the rest of the Shabbat, we're mindful in our praise and in our life of worship of the things that we shouldn't do. You know, if you don't have your seats and your tassels and everything to remind you, you know, may the Ruach remind you of these words and how relevant this still is. It's almost important. It would be hard to remember the hundreds of laws that were given. But when you put them in your spirit, know that the Ruach will check you throughout your day and bring things to remembrance. That's the Comforter's job. That's what it's designed to do. And this is how we encourage one another and shake off the bad things. I want to read something before I read the scripture as it pertains to covenant. Covenant has a lot of different meanings. People, you know, it can mean contract. And I noticed even with the regular dictionary, I'm just going to go before I go to any of the Hebrew, because the Hebrew gets pretty in depth. I just want to give the basic definition of covenant. And there's three different ones. I really looked at the third one, which should have been the first one. The third one said it's a solemn agreement between the members of a church to act together in harmony with the precepts of the gospel. Now, I was surprised that was at dictionary.com in number three, which really is number one for us, Mishpachah, covenant. It is a solemn agreement between Israel to act together in harmony with the precepts of the Torah. That's pretty much what they're saying. So when we form the covenant, it's for us to abide to the covenant, which was the commandments that the Most High gave through Moses, Musa. And so we in harmony, which the Most High is bringing us back to, is harmony. I know we got camps, people waking up all over the diaspora, because we were scattered all over the world, and we're waking up and we're all kind of connecting through the internet and Facebook before it gets shut down. And see, that's why the Most High uses a lot of different vehicles for his purpose, too. We're connecting before he gathers us together in the wilderness, and we're starting to come back into harmony. It's a little rough edges here and there, little different things with doctrines and names and things like that. But most importantly, we know who we are, and we're starting to understand we are one. So the harmony's coming through the precepts. Now, other thing, the definition said an incidental clause in such agreement. And then their number one definition was an agreement, usually formal, between two or more persons to do or not to do something that's specified. So before I read the scripture, we were talking about we're not supposed to make covenants with idolaters, people who idolize things, worship other gods, that promote images, other idols before the Most High. There can be no harmony, because how can two walk together except to agree? So I think scripture verse, where was that found again? Where was it at?
Deuteronomy, I have Deuteronomy 7 and 2, but let's go to Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2.
So reading from Deuteronomy 7 and 1, when the Lord thy God highest shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when Ahiah, the Lord thy God, shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them.
Well,
I'm trying to keep from reading. You know that.
You can if you want to. If you're being led to, keep on. Otherwise, I'll expound on it.
Let me read down Deuteronomy 7 and 3. Neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Most High be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal, verse 5, but thus shall ye deal with them. Ye destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art Kodesh, a holy people unto Ahiah, the Most High, thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. All that, because that just broke down everything about images, altars, and other nations, and what we're not supposed to tolerate.
Yeah, now, once again, the reason why I mentioned verse 1, asked the elder to read verse 1, and really, we really don't need to expound on this too much because it's really broken down pretty good, but we got to understand that these people have already been preached to. When Abraham met Melchizedek, he was in this land, and so he was preaching to these people. He was the priest of the ancient name of Jerusalem at that time, Salaam, and so he was already amongst these Canaanites, preaching to these Canaanites. But they didn't want to listen, so therefore, there's no more talk. It gets to a point, my people, that no more talk. It's just going to be judgment. That's why I started mentioning on the radio broadcast on the fourth day, which we call the Pagan Wednesday. I started mentioning during the Olympics to start praying for the state of Louisiana and for the country of Haiti, because I woke up grieving for them one morning, and I kept on, and still is grieving for them. And now you have this storm that just passed through. It gets to a point to where now, as you know, they're heavily off into witchcraft and sorcery and divination, the very things we're talking about now, as well as Catholicism, voodoo, and so on. And it gets to the point that no more talking, judgment. And so with the nation of Israel, they were to destroy these people and cut them off and break down their images and so on. No more talking, judgment. And so, but once again, they didn't do that. They did just the opposite and went amongst these nations. David did a good job. I mean, he cut a lot of them off, and so did Joshua. But they still, the whole thing was to eliminate them, all of them, and it wasn't done. But to go back to what you said, Elder, if we can go back to the marriage contract agreement, which is the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:3-5. Do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
Go ahead.
Okay. Go to Exodus 20. I'm turning to it now. It says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, see, remember, we're going back. To the Ten Commandments on this one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth. For thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Ahiah, thy God, am a jealous, that word also means zealous, God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Because if you do this, you show that you hate him. And let me put a cap on all of this. When you listen to these false prophets, when you listen and go into these mediums, and when you make a covenant with these idolaters, and by the way, once again, the idolater can be the preacher as well. It fits into all what we just said today. Then you showing, and I hope you church folk is listening, you showing that you hate the Most High, a higher, when you disobey and start following these idolaters. You're showing just the opposite. So you can walk around, do laps around the church, speak in tongues, swing on the chandeliers, and do all that stuff. All you're showing is that you hate them because you're not going to the Torah and proving what these people are doing by the Torah. Do you want to add anything, Elder?
No, go ahead. I'm good.
So I don't mean to totally just jump on people in church. I'm talking to us all to stay away from such things. And those images, those little angel statues in your house, and what else can you think of, Elder? those statuettes, those crosses, those because I hope you know that there is no word in the Bible, and do your study, there is no word cross in the Bible. There's the word in Hebrew and in Greek. There is no word cross. The word is tree or pole. And so the cross is a pagan a pagan instrument or a pagan, it goes back into pagan Babylonian worship, which is also demonic worship. So just letting you know, study to show yourself approved. Study the Torah and get to know these things, and don't just skim through it. You got to go into it so you can be the Kodesh, set apart and special people, as the elder just read, that you may be a special people unto him. Special as in special, that you're set apart and that you're only for him. We got to put away these things because for far too long, we as his people have been in these nations, taken to these nations, brought into slavery and led through these slave masters into these things, to where it's now just a part of our household. It's a familiar spirit. It's just familiar, and some of it is our, some of these spirits are our friends. It's just a familiar spirit. We've been around them so long that we don't know what to do if they leave. We have to make adjustments. So in closing, with this conversation, all three of these are in line with each other: the false prophet, the medium, and these idolaters. If you are led to preach to them, then preach. But for the most part, judgment is soon coming, because the household of faith, the Beth Israel, the house of Israel, has to start making his way back to the Torah and making his way back to the Messiah, so we can be the priest before he comes back, so we can be the true priest that he called us to be, and to be the light of the world and be salt of the earth, and to represent him before he comes, because he's not going to come right now in this mess. I'll tell you that now. So we got to start preparing our way for his return.
So, brothers and sisters, we pray that we want you to be fruitful in your understanding. This is a day set aside, Kodesh, the Shabbat, the Sabbath, to learn of him and his statutes, laws, and commandments. So we spend other days learning on how to take care of the body, take care of the temple, and learning about the Tanakh and the prophecies and history and where we stand with all of our social climate and, you know, the economy, pending wars, and what's going on with the concentration camp preparing and martial law, things that are coming. But this is a day that we spend to prepare your spirit to be able to stand, to be able to be set apart, have that mark written on your forehead. There will be 144,000. There will be a remnant, and he's coming back for Israel. That's who he's coming back for, the children of Israel. And I want you to be ready, because these things that we talk about help you to put yourself in check in this society we live in, which is corrupt when you look to the left or to the right. And that little song we played in the beginning said, "It's in your hands, follow my plan. Don't waver to the left, don't waver to the right. Success is in your hands." And true success is true success. It's not based upon what you amass in this world or the riches of this world or things that you can show off or things that you idolize. No, true success is conforming to the construct, the laws, the way that the Most High has for us, meaning that you'll be successful in making it through this life with purpose and being that he's called you to be. And you'll be Kodesh. You'll be blessed. You'll have a hedge around you and your family. You'll be protected. And you won't succumb to the rigors of this life. "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down having great wrath." Scripture tells us that. Scripture also tells us in Job that the whole earth has been turned over into the hands of the wicked until our Messiah comes. And that Satan, Lucifer, is the prince and power of the air. Therefore, you are living in the matrix of sin and confusion. And the Father's watching to see who's going to keep the faith. And will he find any faithful in the earth, like when he told Lot, "If you could just find me, if you could find me one, I won't destroy it." And so you got to remember, he said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the man." And we're getting to that point where everybody's compromising their whole entire lifestyle. So we're sticking with this right here so that we can be Kodesh. So with that said, we're going to prepare to close out and let you continue with your Shabbat, your Sabbath, your rest, your staying away from the marketplaces as much as you possibly can. I know you operating in grace and mercy, and some of you still have to work because you haven't told your job that, you know, you've claimed to be Hebrew, Israel, or Judaism, but please don't tell them you're a Seventh-day Adventist, whatever you do. but make sure you recognize him and know that this day is set aside for him until the sun goes down. Brother, anything you want to say before I go ahead and close out? Go ahead and we leave here.
No, other than let these words be a Selah, you know, just meditate on it. And as my grandfather used to always say, you know, chew on it, like, you know, like the cow brings back up that chews on the cud, bring that back up and chew on it for a while. And, you know, meditate on, you know, what we say and, you know, ask the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh to lock it into your spirit, into your heart, and let it be safely kept in your heart. "Thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee."
Okay, Mr. Pakal, we want to thank all of you that are here. Be Kodesh and be increased on this double day. I know you have enough to make it through. I'm Elder V on behalf of Elder Audre. We want to say, as we always say here, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, never a destination. I got mad love for you. Know that it was the Messiah's prayer that we could be one. And so it is my prayer that we'll continue to function and realize that the 12 tribes, the scattered, his people, the remnant, those that keep the laws, that we are one. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.